This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Magic Cuban, Magic Cuban, yeah. Magic Cuban.
Hola, buenos dias, señores and señorías. Señor, I'm not very good at this, am I? This is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, reporting here for the third day update from Havana, Cuba. And this episode is brought to you again by ThePerfectTrick.com. And they're going to be having a fantastic sale starting November the 20th, 2018. So if you're listening to this into the future, you've missed it. But this is going to be an early Black Friday type of a deal in which they have over 2,000 odd items that are going to be on sale up to 80% off. So go over and check it out. I think you'll do yourself a favor and your pocketbook too. That's over at theperfecttrick.com. So go check them out. Thanks again for patronizing our sponsor. And today we're going to be talking with a few more people to kind of give you a flavor of what the convention was like. And let me again reiterate, this was not really a convention. It was really a festival. Something was really more for the people of Cuba, so that way that they had a better idea of magic as being a performing art, much like ballet and the orchestra, etc. So this way, perhaps, that this will enhance the careers of many of the local Cuban magicians. At least we hope so, and that we have provided just a little bit of additional culture from the parts of the U.S. for people who have come in to be a part of this. So please enjoy this part of the podcast here today. I should say part of this podcast series that we've got that we're releasing each day. This is day three update from Havana, Cuba and Magic Cuba.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba.
All right. Well, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com. And we are on day three of this five-day convention here at Magic Cuba in Havana, and a lot of things have been going on. As for myself, actually, this is a day of different lectures and everything that is going on, and then this morning I went to a cigar tour over at Partagas, actually, which was interesting. They have 650 employees over there, and they roll 20,000 cigars a day.
Wow.
Yeah, that's amazing. And each person gets like five cigars as kind of a supplement, you know, to their job, I guess,
yeah.
You know, which they can take home and smoke, or they can supplement their income and sell them because they're, you know, expensive cigars. But anyhow, so that's kind of what I did. And so I missed it, my Mike Caveney's opening lecture this morning, but then I wanted to get back in time to catch the next one, which was Dave Cox, who I have with me right now.
Hello.
Long introduction to say hello, Dave.
That is. Oh, hey, how are you?
Fantastic.
Oh, day trace here in lovely Cuba.
That's right. Oh, you've been here for a while, so you actually know the language.
Yeah. Oh, well, of course. I'm muy facil in Espanol.
Well, that's what they taught you in Springfield. Right,
they do. They do tell me that, back in the Midwest. As long as you can order a taco, you seem to be multilingual in the Midwest.
Well, but then you moved to Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, where, you know.
Which is Spanish also.
Yes, very much so.
Which, yeah. There's a television show, Lucifer, which I think is interesting because it's in Los Angeles. You know, Lucifer came to the City of Angels.
Well, of course
you
do.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Which is why you went there.
That is exactly why. That is exactly why.
Not that you sound like Lucifer when you laugh.
No, not at all. No, Scott Wills.
Your lecture today, that's what I think is really kind of interesting. First
right.
of all, that everybody just, it's kind of almost like a TED Talk because they are fairly brief, I mean, as opposed to conventions.
Yeah, yeah, just an hour long to give a big block of information and prove people's stuff. It's been, the lectures have been amazing.
And not really, people aren't pumping stuff and they're sitting there selling stuff. I mean, first of all, you can't bring a lot of things with you. You
right, yeah, no. This yeah. All of these lectures are by guys who are trying to improve the acts and the lives, one might say, of everybody here. They're not just trying to sell stuff. So nobody has stuff for sale after. It really is just about the knowledge and the and sharing that experience with everybody who's here.
And it's back to back to back. I mean,
back to back to back, yeah. I mean, I was sandwiched between Mike Caveney and Chad Long. I mean, what a delicious, delicious sandwich that is. With Michael Godot on top of that. What an amazing morning.
Now we've got to break for lunch real quick and then come right back. And we got three more, you know, before Magic Mojitos later this afternoon.
Yeah, oh, Magic Mojitos. That's got to be your favorite part of the
well,
day.
Of course it is.
Is that right?
Is. Now, you're running Un Truco, which means one trick.
One trick.
Now, explain what that is about.
Well, everyone who's taking part in the convention was invited if they want to share one trick, and that's both the Cuba magicians, the magicians here from the States, magicians from all over the world, to come up and just do 3 to 5 minutes, whatever they want to do, and to share it with not just each other, but the people here at the hotel who are here from all over the world. And that's it. We go up, and for 3 to 5 minutes, we just share our magic with the people that are here.
On video.
It is being videoed, because they're doing a documentary about this whole thing. And the really exciting part is it seems like a very casual thing, right? We're just going to go.
I was going to say, talk about the lectures, about that very thing, because... Talk about casual. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that everybody, I mean, the lecturers are talking to people. I mean, like, because we all are friends, number one. Number two, there are probably, what, 30 people in the audience? I mean,
right,
it's like
yeah.
It's like a lecture at a magic club.
Right, it is, yeah.
So it's a very intimate thing.
Very, very intimate.
So as far as the documentary.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So they're filming a documentary, and one of the things that's a benefit of doing the Un Truco is they're filming all of them, and then there will be a vote on the favorite trick that was presented or the best response, and they will be in the documentary as one of the featured performers here at the convention. So, and there's also a delicious bottle of really good rum that you win. So how many tricks are you going to try and do? Just one each day you're going to go for it?
Try to do more then.
Try to do more, yeah.
Speaking of which, you were the MC the other night for the rum and cigar dinner.
I was, yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was fantastic. We got to meet a rum master who, as it turns out, was not a rum master.
Then you got
she was just
what?
A, I,
you got left?
I did. I threw the microphone down and stormed out of the room. We were kidding.
Yeah, we came back in.
But it takes, apparently, which we found out during the interview process, 30 years to become a rum master.
Okay.
Yeah, 20 to 30 years. I guess you can fast track it and just do it in 20. But mainly it's 30 years to really become a rum master. And we had a cigar master come in, a maestro come in, and we all drank amazing rums. Just aged for 10, 20, 30 years. The rum in oak casks. And it was an amazing time.
Yeah, and then we had a nice dinner, and then they gave everybody these nice leather things for your cigar.
Oh,
you know, the
cutter
and everything.
Yeah, it was amazing. And the cigar master created a cigar specifically for Magic Cuba with a specific blend, and then we all got to sample that. It's been an amazing trip.
So what have you enjoyed so far? I mean, we're only about halfway through this. What have you been enjoying
the most? Yeah, we're less than halfway through. Yeah. First of all, if you've never been to Havana, and first of all, you get to say Havana if you've been here, and you're going to say Cuba,
Cuba
if you've been here. If you try and say that and you haven't been here, you just seem pretentious. But if you've been here,
you can do it.
You can say it. When I was in Cuba, the beautiful people of Havana. And that's been another incredible layer to this whole experience, is being here in Havana. A 1957 Chevy in beautiful condition.
Have you taken a ride in one?
I have, yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah, and they keep them in such great condition.
Yeah, and the people of Cuba have just really opened their hearts to us. Yeah. They've been super friendly, and they love what we're doing. They don't get to see a lot of magic, though there is a great group of magicians here from Cuba and from Havana. Mm-hmm. And magicians from all over Cuba have come here to be part of this. It's not something they can see on television. They don't see it every day in their lives. So the delight of the Cuban people when we're doing magic has been amazing. Like we were out, we took a walking tour of Havana.
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning. And there were groups of school children taking historical tours of the same place as we were. And we did magic for them. We just broke out and did magic for them. And they're first of all, they were incredibly polite and well-mannered. Yes. Uh-huh. And yet, when magic happened, they lost their minds.
Like on a David Blaine special.
Like it was like on a David Blaine special, yeah. Or like those guys at an L&L videotaping.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just...
like top,
everything
is,
what has happened? Yeah. And watching... like Matt King did his Cards Across in Spanish. And he had the kids kind of, uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Yeah.
And the cards went across, and the children screamed and ran around. It was amazing.
Experience, yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, and the street magicians are all around town. So really, it's part of the festival. And that's the idea. Is this is really not a conference, not a convention. It's unlike anything really I've ever attended from the standpoint that this is a city of nearly 3 million people, and it is having magic taking place all over the place, day and night. You know, they got shows at midnight even.
Yes, it starts. We start here at 8 o'clock in the morning.
That's one of the things too. Yeah, that I think that they're a little bit more laid back here. You know, they
relaxed, very relaxed, and we're doing shows at midnight.
Yeah,
and so it goes on all day.
Did you
long.
See the show last night with Steve Pridolfer and Rob Gould?
I didn't.
And all
no,
that? Good show,
no,
great
I didn't.
Show, a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and that was upstairs and down on the. Teatro something.
Teatro Nacional.
Nacional. There we go. Thank you. Yeah. And then downstairs was the Grand Theater. Mm. We saw Ossie Wynn do a great show.
Oh, you know, a great show. Sure.
And then following that, then we went upstairs to the piano lounge. But there was another on the other side of the curtain or behind us. We couldn't hear, but that was where I guess Matt King and Mike and Tina were working. And anyhow. Yeah, there is a big theater and a lot of different venues within that one thing, and so that's what we're going to go see tonight.
Did you see the Cuba Magicians at Club Roja?
No, I bless you. I had just spoken to Alex Boyce last evening, and he was the American doing Dove Act.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He was saying what amazing guys that these were to work with. They were energetic, and they had these large illusions, you know, that they were doing and everything. And so.
Here's the crazy thing. First of all, the passion that the magicians here in Cuba have for the art of what they're doing, the enthusiasm, the entire picture they're trying to paint and create is inspiring and really amazing, just how passionate they are.
Yeah.
But they can't buy magic supplies.
Right.
They can't just order something from Magic Inc. in Chicago. They can't just throw that down. So they have to make everything that they use. So all the illusions they did in that show were made by the people in the show. They created all that stuff. They welded it and hammered it and painted it and did it with stuff that they had to... you know, one of the Cuban magicians, he's like, you know, I could fix my house or build this trick. And and he picked the trick.
Yeah. You have to have a passion.
You got to have the passion. And they say, one of them said to me last night that they just want to share their magic with us.
Yeah.
They just feel so honored that these incredible big names are here, that we want to see their magic, and they just want to share it with us. And that's been amazing.
Is that Club Rojo open every night, or was that just the first night, or, you know?
I'm not sure.
Is that ongoing?
Okay. I think it is ongoing, and then they do stuff there. But for us, they did a special... night where it was just for people
that was
here as part of the
night.
Festival. The opening night,
Because I did bring a lot of things. They had suggested that if you have some magic you would give to Cubans, so I got like a suitcase full of things, but I don't know how to dispense them yet.
Yeah. I have a pocket full of thumb tips.
Okay.
And so I've just been, if I get in a conversation with somebody and they seem awesome, I offer them a thumb tip. And it's like, oh my God, what is that?
Yeah.
This is so great.
So you had to loan one to Chad Long for him to teach
that knitting
trick he was talking
about. Right, Chad is one of my favorite Cubans. Oh, here's Chad Long
Chad Long?
Another one of the amazing events.
See you later.
Off to do more wonderment to bring more delight.
Right. And so, anyhow, I would like to see some of the other guys do some of the stage acts. And I know there's a brewery, I guess, downtown where they were working as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a brewery. There's a place by the seaside. There's a place down by the central part of Havana. One of the squares, yeah. They're doing magic there. They're doing, by the Mercado. Down by the ocean. It's happening everywhere.
Right, because it's for the people.
For the people, yes.
That's one of the things is that this was co-sponsored really by the government.
Right, the Ministry of Cultural Affairs.
Right, which was allow us to come in to begin with to make this happen. So it was kind of underwritten a little bit like that because they wanted to expose the art to which it is, and they realize this is an art here, unlike a lot of places in America.
Right.
They want to expose the local culture to another art form, a performing art form.
Yeah, and they've been so welcoming and so delighted by it. And the attendees of this conference have been so generous with their time. I mean, everybody is, and it's not at some point, you know, it's like, you want to see a card trick? Can I please do something for you? It's opportunities abound, and they're like, oh, yeah, magical? Oh!
Yeah.
They're like, oh, yes, here.
You know, we've got these buttons on.
So yeah.
Show me a miracle. I mean, I guess.
Yeah, show me a miracle.
Says? Okay.
Yeah.
I will show you a miracle.
Ask me to show you a miracle.
Okay. Yeah. It's in Spanish. I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're wearing a button. So I was walking down the street, you know, the thing today, and the guy said, look, so I showed him something, and he said, oh, that's great. He said, but, can you make a visa appear for me to go to America? It's like, that's all I want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you were talking in your lecture, for an example, having emotional appeal and things like that and how that you can relate to the audience. And that would have been, you know, it's kind of like offering a person a sandwich, but if they don't want it, but if they say, I'm hungry, you know, then you produce a sandwich.
Right. Sudden sandwich.
He needed a visa.
You know,
if he could, even if it was a comic thing, you know, that'd be kind of you know, something that you need, here you go, you know.
Right. Yeah. Like one of the guys yesterday entertaining the children, everybody loved Matt King. They went nuts for Matt King. And then following him was Michael Trix from Florida. Mm-hmm. And he pulled out a piece of flash paper, set it on fire, and made a lollipop appear. And for kids, they lost their minds. Candy from nowhere. Oh, this is what, how did he know? This is what we want.
That's what we want.
All of us want. And then he split it into two, and the kids went nuts.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And having to follow Mac King, that's not an easy thing to follow.
That's right. Well, that's great.
So fire and candy for children. You can't get better than that.
Well, speaking of candy, it's lunchtime, and I think that everyone else is bugged out and probably found a seat. We need to go do that also.
Yes,
today.
Let's go get
I'm
some.
I'm getting hungry because my breakfast has left me. After reading Lobster the last two nights, that's another thing. The food has been phenomenal.
Phenomenal here. Yeah.
And all part of the registration. Your food and drink and everything.
All inclusive.
People don't know what they missed.
Yeah.
I don't know if this will happen again. This was a one time, I think, but this was fun. This is great. Dave, thanks very much.
Thank you, Scott.
So the Magic Word Podcast. That was Dave Cox. And this is Scotty O.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba.
All right, well, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we've just finished dinner, my third lobster dinner in a row. So I guess how much lobster can I have? I don't know. I'll have it again tomorrow night.
We are struggling here, aren't we? It's hard to keep up with all the lobsters.
And also the sweets, you know, and
dessert,
the sugary drinks,
mojitos. A lot of mojitos.
So this afternoon we had some, some marvelous sessions, and I like the one this morning that I've got right now, then Michael Goodeau. Hey, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And
appreciate it.
We're going to be talking in more detail later, so you people who are listening to these updates, you'll have to tune in whenever that I'll have a chance to sit down with Michael for about an hour, and we can talk about things, because he knows a lot about podcasts. You work with Penn.
A little bit, yeah. I do them on occasion.
Yours is weekly also, isn't it?
Yeah, twice a week, Sunday, Wednesday, yeah.
Well, I thought it was just Sunday. It's school.
Yeah, we just expanded. We record them all on Sunday, but we broke it. Now we just played in two episodes.
Is it kind of, you know, like on, I'll ask you this later on the podcast when we talk more at length, but I know like Gilbert Gottfried, you know, has the Colossal Amazing Show, and then he's also got another one, which is kind of a subset of that. So are both of the shows?
Both ours are both the same, yeah. Okay. They're pretty much the same theme. Okay. A little shorter.
But since we're here at Magic Cuba, good lobster. How have you been enjoying this?
This has been unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is the best convention I've ever been to, by far.
You've been on other conventions.
I've done a lot. Yeah, I've done a lot of the traveling and stuff, and I'm amazed by Havana and by Cuba.
And because why? Paprika's coming through.
The energy, the excitement, the people, it's been really great. It's an odd mix.
Mm-hmm. You say people, I mean the local Cuban people, the mix of the registrants?
The local Cuban people that we've met have been all great and fun and funny.
Because you can entertain the public. You're part of the performer, so you kind of go out and part of the festival for the Cuban people.
Yeah, which has been terrific. It's been great. And my Spanish is so terrible that it's a really funny show. A lot of the humor is based on how bad my Spanish is.
Yes. Right. That'd be pretty funny. Who else have you been working with then for the public show?
Oh, no, we've just been out down at the beer garden.
Beer garden. Because on the pier by where they have the ships, cruise ships come in, so it is a pier there, too.
There's a pier right
That's
there.
That's why I thought you meant the pier garden.
The pier garden, yeah. I try to remember again, my Spanish is so bad, I can't remember. The cervecería is the beer garden.
Gotcha, So as far as the rest of the show, you're going to be on tomorrow night's show? Or when?
Tomorrow night show. Matt King and I are doing a big show. Okay. The amazing Matt King.
And you've been working with him for a while?
No. Yes. We've been friends for a while, and we do shows. Once every few years, we do a show or two together. But this has been just a special one. This is going to be a special event.
Something that people haven't seen before.
People haven't seen this before.
And we'll maybe never see again.
I hope we see it all the time.
I hope it's going to be that good, too.
I do, yeah. I hope it becomes a series.
Because I'm thinking about, you know, Fielding West, you know.
We're going
with
on the road. Yeah. Mac and I are going to get in a bus.
That'll be funny. You know, like Lance Burton goes out, you know, with Fielding West
Keith
West.
Lance Burton friends. I've been doing that show as well.
You've been on that show, too.
I've been in that show.
Are you doing the deal on Thanksgiving with those guys?
I am. Thanksgiving weekend, we're doing a big show in Vegas at the Orleans. Come on by and see us. You can see Lance Burton doing magic again for the first time in a long dang time.
If you guys want to have a good Thanksgiving, that's a place to go, actually, to Orleans.
Yeah, we get good turkey.
It's going to be on Thursday and Friday.
No, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday
evening, yeah.
Yeah, because Keith had told me to come out and said, hey, you know, got your show. And Keith and Felix said,
save my place. 3 days worth of tickets.
As far as the show, like I said, I like your lecture than today. So have you given that kind of a lecture? Explain the lecture just briefly.
I'm working on trying to make comedy writing simple. This is a basic comedy writing class because I, if you sit down with a pen and try to say what's funny or I need to write something funny about this, it's really hard to do. And so I've worked on trying to find a method of asking yourself questions that are easy to answer that lead to comedy. So that's the basis of it.
I love that. You know, when I was thinking as you were talking about that, about people who, for an example, are comedy writers for the talk shows, evening talk shows or something, because they got to come up with material every day. It's got to be topical on what the news is about. But the way that you explain that, it's like, okay, in a half hour I'm done, and I've got some good material.
Yeah, it's not difficult.
If you can formulaic.
What's that? Sorry,
it's formulaic. It's a formula.
Yes. Yeah, it's a way to ask yourself questions that are easy to answer and then find ways to break those answers in ways that are funny.
I think the funny comes naturally when you break
when
it down
you
the
break
way
it down that
it.
Way. Exactly right. So, yeah, we go through a series of steps. So people, places, events. I list those things from whatever I want to write a gag about, and then I break it down. So if I'm listing people, I would say, so we were going to pick an event. We were going to pick an event. We might say, well, we need to write a gag about going to the doctor or going to a dentist. And you would try to make a list of all the people who are, my friends are insane.
Cracking people up all around you.
Yes, they're naked. They're both naked. So.
Okay. Well, that's just the way that we're doing it here in Cuba.
Yeah, exactly.
Cuba naked.
Cuba naked. I'm very proper about this whole thing. So we'd make a list of the people involved in going to the dentist. So my wife's naked now. Make a list of the people involved. You'd be the dentist, the patient, the nurse. And then we would make assumptions about each of them. And so we're going to do as quickly as possible. The person who's at the dentist wants their tooth fixed. The dentist knows what he's doing. You just make a list of things about those people and then break them. Do opposites. Dentist doesn't know what he's doing. Dentist doesn't know what he's doing leads you into something where you go, well, now we know what the dentist gag is going to be about. It's definitely going to be about how this dentist is awful. And then you start, you know, the dentist knows he's awful, so how does he fix that? The next level. So we make an assumption about the dentist. Dentist wants to be there. Dentist knows what he's doing. Go in the opposite. A dentist doesn't know what he's doing. You know, we're going to try to fix that. How's the dentist going to fix that? Well, he's going to have maybe a book on dentistry, or he's got YouTube open.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, we're just going to list breaks and fixes and breaks and fixes. And as you list all of the things that would be involved at the dentist's office, you will eventually have 40 jokes that you can put into it, because you've stumbled onto them as logically and as directly as possible.
I think about Tim Conway's act. Remember that he had the dentist routine, which, you know, he injected himself and his hand went numb.
Yeah, see, that type of stuff is really easy to write with this method. So, you know, it's easy to come across it and find it.
So when you knew that you were going to be coming,
my wife is playing with Matt King's penis.
They're all naked back there.
It's not my wife.
Hey.
Yes.
You ought to be here, folks. You got to be here.
You may continue. Then I apologize for interrupting.
You're so nice to me.
You're so nice to me.
So when you were planning on coming to begin with, Cuba. That's right.
A
tricky
friends.
Convention. When you were asked to be coming here, you'd, I assume, not been to Cuba before, and this kind of was an appeal.
Absolutely. I always wanted to go to Cuba.
So Bill Herz called and said, hey, you want to come?
Yeah, to Cuba, and I said, yeah, before he had finished that sentence, yes. Yeah, and the excitement has been bringing my wife along, who doesn't like nervous, me or travel like this, very nervous about it, and just had a great time. So it's been really terrific.
You guys enjoyed it also? Yes,
absolutely. No, kind of.
Right now we are.
It's really been great.
All righty, well, great. Thank you very much. That's
anytime.
What I want to know.
Thank you.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Michael Godeau. Scotty out.
Thanks.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, yeah. Magic Cuba.
Well, we just finished the evening show. It was hosted by Jorge Blas, and it was an excellent show and a lot of fun. And I thought kind of to help me recap that, I've got my friend John Archer. Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. So, tell me, how did you think of this? What did you think of the show?
I loved it. I thought it was great. It was typically Cuban, the way they started. You know, I don't think I've seen many gala shows start with a 24-piece orchestra and 16 dancers and singers. Yeah, it was great, and it was held together well. It was great, you know. Just
I thought it was interesting that Mike Caveney spoke complete Spanish in his... I mean, the whole talking show was all comedy in Spanish he'd memorized.
Yeah, that's right. And Norbert Ferrer as well doing it in Spanish. And, right. And I've seen him doing it in English, and I've seen him doing it in French. I was quite pleased that I'd seen the acts before because, you know, I knew what, and I didn't need a translation.
What to say, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so I knew most of the lines. So, but yeah, they both did really well. I mean, everybody did well.
Right, right. Now, I thought that certainly that Tina did a great job of interpreting that as well, since that hers was a silent act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it, you know, it always works, doesn't it?
Yeah, Tina's. Yeah, certainly does. I thought that she had a... a great act, and then let's see who else. I can't pronounce the fellow's name. The guy who did the stage act. Do you remember that?
Well, if you can't do it, I've got no chance.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a bunch of stuff, apparently, that they just built here.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. Apparently, they can't get hold of any sort of illusions or, you know, magic apparatus, so they just build everything from books they've seen from 50 years ago. So.
Get that fire spike illusion, and then a double metamorphosis or something, you know, I mean, to the side.
Yeah. And then that illusion as well, which I hadn't seen before, where he effectively used an iron to iron his assistant away. So he put her on what looked like a big ironing board and,
yeah, and put a sheet over her.
And then just ironed the sheet flat, which I thought was a novel idea. I'd never seen that before.
Pulled it away, she's gone. And it was a very flat base.
Yeah, 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 it was. It was very, very impressive. Yeah, yeah.
And so now we are in the bus getting ready to go someplace else for more show. And now it's 11 o'clock and the magic is not over for the day.
Another show to watch.
That's right. We'll see who's going to be on that then next. So for the Magic Word Podcast, I was just a quick recap over there with John Archer and Scotty out.
Magic Cuba. Magic Cuba, Magic Cuba.
Okay, as John and I were just talking, I want to have a little addendum there also, because you've been working with Tim Vine, and I had seen on Facebook where you said that you were just finishing your last show for the season.
Yeah, yeah, we finished our last leg just a couple of weeks ago, so we've done about 80-something dates this year. And whether he's trying to decide whether he'll do some more next year. There's a possibility he might do another 20 before he goes on to Melbourne Comedy Festival and works it there.
And that's in April? February?
Yeah, it's sort of April, May, I think.
Yeah.
He may do some more. He may not. He doesn't know. But he probably, once he's done Melbourne, that'll be it. And then he'll, you know, have a break, write a new show, and start all over again.
Right. Has he been thinking about or been approached by TV producers, BBC, maybe doing a show?
Oh, he's done lots of TV in the UK. Yeah, 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 he's done lots of stuff, and some
I
of
mean
his
like a regular series, you know, like Paul.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's been in some sitcoms, and he's hosted quite a few game shows. So he's done, you know, he has. We made two shows last year: a pilot and then a Christmas special of a sitcom that I wrote with him, and it was sort of a time travel thing.
They always had the Doctor Who show on Christmas, so that makes sense. To have a time travel thing.
So this was like a comedy time travel thing. The idea being each week he'd go back to a different period of history and meet some famous people. So he went back in the pilot. We did a Robin Hood version, and I played Little John. And then the Christmas special, we went to the time of Henry VIII, and I played Henry VIII, obviously. But that, unfortunately, the BBC never picked that up for a series. Either the viewing figures weren't right, or they just, you know, didn't fit there.
And when you were playing during this last season, you were all over the UK, because I know you were in Ireland and everywhere, Wales and wherever.
Yeah, yeah, we did the whole of British Isles, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, so, you know, everywhere.
And how many shows did you do all together, you know?
Do you know what? I haven't counted them up, but I would think it was around about the 80 mark, roughly. We sort of, and that was done in four blocks, so we'd sort of go out and do between 20 and 25.
Like on a bus? You just get a bus and head out?
Yeah, like a little small. It was like half van, half bus, so six seats at the front and a van part at the back.
Yeah.
So, and we have a tour manager who drives it, so just the three of us. And we're just like three kids, you know, we're just messing about in the back.
Like you said, he was a good mate of yours, so it's just kind of fun to hang out with.
That's right, and we have a little walkie-talkies, and we give ourselves code names and talk on the walkie-talkies when we're
out and about. It's a lot of fun.
Now, was it kind of fun also because that you were confused as to which date and where you were? I mean, it's like, you know, where are we tonight?
There's a little bit of that. Just before you go on stage, you say, where are we again?
Thank you, Boston.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, but a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, good. Thanks a lot, and good luck for next year.
Thank you very much.
I hope so. Scotty.